How is everybody? Y'all doing all right? Good. I have a special announcement just for our sophomores. I should say especially for our sophomores in the room. We have something coming up for you that you have only heard of if you have checked your email from me. So I'm guessing you haven't heard of it. And that's okay. That's why I'm here. We have something that I'm excited about. I'm also really excited about the name. It's called Sneak Peek Weeks. Can I just get some applause for that name? I mean, come on. Come on. Only the best for you guys. So all of you as sophomores are going to be declaring your major at the end of this semester, actually on October 29th. And we recognize that some of you need to figure out what major you want to go into, or some of you really just want affirmation in what you've already known for a long time that you are called to do. So we have developed Sneak Peek Weeks, which is going to be 2 weeks with multiple opportunities for you to go to mock classes taught by our program directors or faculty within each program to just give you a taste of what class is like as a PPE student, as a psychology student, whatever the program might be. We want to serve you and help you clarify your calling or affirm the calling that you know you have from the Lord. So the dates are on the screen. You can check your email for more information in the days ahead. And this is open to all of Criswell. So you can come and join as many of those mock classes as you want. They'll be at 11 a.m. Mondays and Thursdays, so there's no class during that time. All of you are welcome, but sophomores especially are encouraged to join. So we have many exciting things happening at Criswell, and one of our favorite things is to get to worship and hear from the Lord in chapel every single week. And I know that it can be hard to take time out of your day and to just stop and hear from the Lord. But I really want to encourage you this morning to just take these next 30 minutes and just entrust all those other things that you're worried about, that you're anxious about, just entrust them to the Lord. Trust that He is the one who is in control. And for these next 30 minutes, simply sit and listen to what the Lord has for you today. And today, we have the pleasure of hearing from Pastor Bart Barber. Bart Barber has served as pastor of First Baptist Church Farmersville since 1999. He's married to Tracy, and they have 2 children, Jim and Sarah. He has a BA from Baylor University in their University Scholars Program, an MDiv from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, and a PhD in church history, also from Southwestern. He's active in denominational life, serving Southwestern, the Southern Baptists of Texas Convention, and the National Southern Baptist Convention. Bart has a private pilot's license, and he plays the guitar, the banjo, and the mandolin. Not sure if he brought any of those with him today, but will you join me in welcoming Pastor Bart Barber?
Actually, really the only thing that's remarkable about me is I both have a suit and a TikTok. And the overlap of those two categories is, I think, pretty small in the world these days. And I'm not that good at TikTok. I'm a whole lot better at the suit. I've put up 2 videos, I think, on TikTok, and one of them had no audio. So I'm probably going to be looking for some help from somebody in here before I leave. How many of you guys are engaged online, social media in some way or another? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. That's a lot of folks that I see here in the room. My kids are all over that stuff. I mean, they are constantly showing me, and everything is there, isn't it? I mean, I watch on TikTok. I'm more of a TikTok stalker than I am actually a TikTok poster, but there's like tractor TikTok. Did you know this? You can pick out the brand of tractor that you have, and people post TikTok videos of going out and doing stuff on their tractors. That's pretty niche, I think, in the world around us. And it's crazy what has happened with social media. What I want us to do today is take a moment to think about how we as believers can be distinctively Christian in the way that we interact on social media. And what I'd like for us to consider today as a text for that is, oh my, not that. The other ribbon, yes. Galatians chapter 5 And we're going to read starting in verse 22, a passage of scripture to be famous for all of you, I think, will know about this. It tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of God's word as we read Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. Galatians 5, 22 and following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning that you will give us ears to hear what you have said through what I'm going to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated very quickly because I only have a little bit of time. I want us to consider how the fruit of the Spirit shows up in people on social media. Let's look at that first set of three things that's listed in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace. These are three items in the fruit of the Spirit that really speak about who you are on the inside, what your personal state of being is at some point or another. I try to resolve whenever I go on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever else, I try to resolve in my heart to say, nothing you post is going to make me a hateful person today. Nothing you can write, nothing you can tweet, nothing you can act out on TikTok is going to turn this from a good day to a bad day for me. It's not going to stop my experience of joy and make me instead experience despondency or dissatisfaction with my life or with the world around me. I'm not gonna look on Facebook and see somebody else's relationship or somebody else's home or somebody else's great vacation that they're taking today and suddenly be dissatisfied with my life. But instead, I'm going to be a person of joy no matter what I encounter online. And nothing that you can put on social media is going to cause me to have anxiety or unrest. But instead, the fruit of the Spirit in me is going to be that I am loving, not hateful. That I am someone who has joy, not dissatisfaction. That I'm going to be someone who is at peace, not at war, on the inside. Out of those first three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, it moves to a second group of three that talks not specifically only about what I'm like on the inside, but it talks about what I'm like to other people, how I treat other people. Hey, is any of that needed on social media for us to think about how we treat other people? Absolutely. So he says love, joy, peace. Then he says kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I'm sorry, patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness comes in the next group. Patience, kindness, goodness. Patience is my determination not to give up on other people, not to throw in the towel, but to believe that with patience I can see God be at work in my life and in the lives of other people around me. So, you know, Jeremy went through the list of places I've been and stuff I've done and whatever else a while ago. Jeremy, I've got to say, first of all, I don't know how on earth you came up with all of that stuff. That's pretty amazing. Unless I wrote it a long time ago, maybe, or something. The other thing I have to say is, you have the best beard-shaped mask that I've seen in the entire pandemic. I think I need to buy five or six of those for friends of mine that I can share with them. But really, let me tell you that a lot of education, you can't really predict what the effect of that's going to be on somebody. degree at Baylor, degrees leading up to a PhD in church history. Can I tell you part of what that did to Bart Barber? I mean, great, wonderful things that have enhanced ministry. I'm so thankful for it. Pursue all the education that God gives you the opportunity to pursue. But beware of this. It made me somebody who really knew how to win an argument. Because I had accumulated the facts, and especially that doctoral work, man, that's about coming into a seminar and you're gathered with other people in there, and with church history in particular, I spent a lot of time learning about all the people's arguments from all the years that came before me. I had seen how people could win. And sometimes that showed up online in the way that I would behave on Facebook or Twitter, particularly in those platforms, to be interacting with people and to know how to vanquish people I encountered online. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit, telling you to communicate in such a way as to persuade and disciple rather than to vanquish and conquer. And there's an enormous difference when you interact with people in the ongoing hope that through patiently waiting, you can see the Spirit of God work in them. Kindness. Kindness is a determination to bring someone something in the very best way that you can bring it to them. Whenever I think about kindness, I think about one of my old professors, James Leo Garrett. He's with the Lord now. He taught systematic theology at Southwestern Seminary. That was my minor when I was getting my PhD. I brought in a paper one time. There's always a little bit of fear and trembling when you would bring a paper in to a man whose nickname was Machine Gun Garrett. And yet I brought that in, and I remember he was going through and he had kind things to say about the content of the paper, and then he said, "Now on page 17 of your paper," and everybody in the class goes over there and finds that, in the third paragraph you go down, he says, "You see that word there? Bart, I'm not sure that we're ready to adopt the British spelling of that word." As though I spent a great deal of time saying, you know, the British spell it this way. And so I had just put a typo in. I just spelled something wrongly. And yet Dr. Garrett chose to correct me. Profs, you might hear a word here for you. Dr. Garrett chose to correct me in a way that assumed the best of how that came to be in my paper. And it was absolutely the kindest way that I could imagine that anybody could say, "You misspelled a word in the third paragraph on page 17. You know, sometimes I find myself online with a desire to think, what's the way that I can correct you that shames you the most? How can I really hand you your hat?" Where instead, what the fruit of the Spirit in kindness does is to cause you to say, what's the way that I can make this as sweet and palatable to you as I possibly can? You know, it's patience, not giving up on people. Nothing that you tweet is going to make me give up on you. It's kindness to say whatever it is that you've posted, even if your timeline is an absolute litany of everything that I'm against, I'm going to try to say what I say to you in the way that is the most acceptable to you without compromising what I have to say. We're not talking about changing content and abandoning truth. We're talking about, out of the 100 ways I could say this, which ways receive the best? I want to find that way to communicate. Some of you are already at the point. That goodness, Goodness is desiring to enrich the people's lives around you. To look and say, you know what? I want to be somebody, even if you disagree with me, I want to be somebody that you want to talk to. That you want to talk to because it's a blessing in your life to talk to me. Because I desire good things for you. Patience, kindness, goodness. Some of you at this point are already saying, yeah, but you know what? I'm a wicked, sinful person, and I just enjoy doing the wrong thing every once in a while. It just feels good to slam dunk somebody every once in a while. Listen, we serve a Savior who's not untouched by your infirmities, who knows what it is to be human, and that's why God puts you in circumstances from time to time when you're in a car by yourself in traffic and you can vent all that on the other cars that are around you where nobody can hear. And then it's not a bad witness to Christ, you know. It's just a good place to let all that out. But on social media, everybody's watching. And we bear witness for Christ, even when we don't know what we're doing. The last triad that's here is a triad that speaks about my relationship with my own weaknesses and temptations. Look at what it says. It says that we've got love, joy, and peace in our hearts. We're going to exercise patience and kindness and goodness toward the people around us. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is my determination not to betray through what I do on social media or in any other aspect of life. Although really, I think Paul had social media in mind when he wrote this. But I just especially looking at what happens online, I think there's a strong sense of loyalty that many people have in the way that they discharge their lives online. I just think it's loyalty to the wrong things. Loyalty to my political party. Loyalty to my buddies I run with. Instead of the idea that I'm bought with a price and I'm not my own and my allegiance belongs to the Lord, and I have to ask myself, will this post be a betrayal of Christ? Or will I demonstrate a faithfulness that keeps faith with the Lord in the way that I behave? Which, by the way, will also make me someone who is consistent and faithful to people around me in a way that actually encourages and edifies them as believers. Faithfulness. So faithfulness is resisting my temptation when the heat is on to betray others in order to save my own skin. Gentleness. Gentleness is my determination to resist my own temptation to overreact when I am provoked. Now, this rarely ever happens online. That people overreact when they're provoked. But maybe I'm different. Sometimes I just feel that stalking me. I feel that pushing at me. In times when I shouldn't, when the pressure is on, a tendency to overreact. What was not on my resume were the times of tremendous stress, the times of the pressure cooker that life can be sometimes in your church, in your family, in our family of churches. How easy it is to have just the slightest thing make you lump somebody in with a whole category of people that you're enraged at right now. Overreacting. We're not going to be that. We're going to be people who are gentle, who respond appropriately to the things around us. And then the last one, self-control. Self-control is my determination to be on guard against my temptation to overindulge. I think that may be one of the vulnerabilities at the root of so many others. I don't know if any of you, do any of you listen to podcasts? Some of you do. Have you been following the rise and fall of Mars Hill and listening to that one? That's been a pretty amazing bit of investigative journalism, and I've been following that podcast. I asked everybody on our church staff to follow that podcast so that we could have discussions about whether anything that we didn't like in the podcast was also in our church or in our church's leadership, so that we could do some self-examination about that. And in going through that podcast, one of the most revealing episodes, I think, about that one was the one that talked about the brand, that talked about the way that that Mars Hill Church in Seattle, if you aren't following the podcast, Mark Driscoll was the pastor there, a church that grew and became very, very successful and then just imploded just like that, just gone. And in that episode, the brand, it talked about a change that seemed to happen when this church, an early adopting church in social media, really got a presence going online and started to see what it was that generated more views, more likes, more clicks, more followers, more mentions. I mean, that just creates that dopamine thing in it, doesn't it? I mean, we just feel that inside ourselves. Somebody liked what I had to say. You see how many followers I have? More than you, buddy. That's how many. But not enough to be up with this other person that I know. I've got a friend named Matt Hensley who has more followers than me on Twitter. I wasn't aware of that until somebody pointed that out yesterday, and now I don't like him. And and I feel this urge to get more people to follow me. You know what one of the quickest and easiest ways to do that is? To take everything we've read about the fruit of the Spirit and throw it off to the side and slam dunk on people and leave a trail of bodies behind you. People will follow that. So there's a need for me to have inside myself the self-control that will keep me from overindulging in the affirmation that I like to get from out of social media. Tell you, the world is changing. It has already changed in a lot of ways. Social media is going to be a part of your future. And that's fine. That's fine. It can be good. God can use it to do great and mighty things. Just make sure that you take the Holy Spirit with you into the world of social media and let Him be seen. If not, we'll wind up being the people that it talks about here at the end, who become conceited and provoke one another and envy one another. I fear that many people would describe Christian Twitter just like that. Just like that. But the answer to it is so simple. Seek the Lord and let the Spirit produce fruit in your life, and let it get through your fingers to your devices so that it shows up online. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for everyone who has gathered in this room who are going to be people who have an influence. Christian College has always had an influence. Its graduates have always had an influence. Everywhere you go, you run into Christian graduates. And that means that this place and this moment and these people are going to have the opportunity to set a new tone for who we are as a people online. And so I ask that you would move in their hearts to do that, to shape who they are, shape how they interact with other people, and make yourself glorious through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you guys thank Bart for being here today? I realized that last week when I did this, I failed to introduce myself. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Rob Collingsworth. I'm the Director of External Relations, and I begged Dr. Creamer to let me do this again because of the immense respect I have for Bart. In fact, you might remember probably a year or a year and a half ago when I took you to lunch, and I think I cried a little bit as I needed to kind of repent to you about like some social media stuff. And I genuinely look to Bart as the model of how, as believers who are in and a part of the culture of this world, to be involved and to be persuasive and to be genuine and be Christ-like, and not doing it in a way that's this corny or cheesy, but it's engaging. And so Bart is, I had no idea until this morning this is what he was going to talk about. But I hope that some of you guys have some questions for him. And if no one has one right off the bat, I have something in the barrel. But okay, we got a question right here. I don't know who the, okay, here we go.
Yeah, two questions. One, how long have you played the mandolin for?
Oh, you want me to answer that?
Yeah, genuinely, yeah. Sure. Like, how long have you played the mandolin for?
So, I play the mandolin. I've played the mandolin for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I play it at a level that suits me well. When my kids were little, I could play Baby Beluga at home on the mandolin or whatever else, and we could sing together. But I don't actually, nobody else wants to hear that.
Gotcha. Second question is, do you think or believe that we have the power of producing fruit on our own? And if so, why?
So I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit in us to change who we are. I think that people are able to have something like love in their heart apart from being a believer. I think that people are able to have something like joy in their life apart from being a believer, but not consistently and well enough. I think that the world around us shows us that I can be a joyful person 5 days out of the week and lose that for two, and the five are not enough to make up for what I did on the two. And so I think, although there's residual of what God did in creating us in all of these areas, not enough. And so I think there's a need for the Holy Spirit to work supernaturally in us, to grow us spiritually so that we have these things in the times when it's hard to have them.
We got a question here in the back.
Thanks so much. Pastor Dr. Barber, thank you. It was a good word. My question is this. In all of the discussions that have happened online just over the last 2 to 3 to 4 years, whether it's politics, whether it's things like what's been in the news, COVID, CRT, and all of the issues, Black Lives Matter, all of those things, I can imagine you've had a lot of conversations with people from both ends and have had to operate in the very thing you preached over and over and over again with much challenge. So my question is this. With addressing all of those topics and addressing just a variety of the issues that have come up, you know, whether there are some things that you may agree or disagree with, do you find yourself also trying to develop a relationship with some of even those who you do disagree with? And if so, what does that look like for the Christian believer and for just all of us in this room who are trying to not only operate in the fruits of the Spirit, but also provide strong, solid arguments, whether they're received well or not.
Before you answer, if someone has a next question, feel free to go ahead and raise your hand, and that way we can get the mic to that next person by the time we wrap up.
For people who are dialed in to SBC Twitter, I can answer that in one sentence and just say, I'm good friends with Dwight McKissick and Tom Buck. I tried to work with, because they're also friends with each other, and I tried to work a collaboration with them on something that we never did actually get finished, but that I think would have been really helpful. I think it looks like this. I think it means pushing back against misrepresentation and talking past one another, because some of our disagreements aren't really disagreements. They're just misunderstandings. And I think it's really important to try to search out the root of those. After listening for 2 years to people talking about critical race theory and intersectionality, for example, a little more than a month ago, I just decided to put up a poll that asked people, what do you mean when you say critical race theory? And that asked people, do you affirm this? Do you affirm this? Do you reject that? Just asking some things like that. Do you feel like you are an expert at critical race theory, intersectionality? Can you define those for me? The results of that came back showing a lot of uncertainty about what these things actually even are. And I think a pretty remarkable level of agreement, even among people who thought that they were on different sides of this. So not everybody, not in every circumstance, but I think having the fruit of the Spirit and desiring to be someone who's a peacemaker means learning to figure people out before you start trying to lay down the law. The same professor who corrected me on the spelling very gently always drilled into us to say, only when you can state somebody else's point of view so well that they themselves say, yes, that's exactly what I believe, only after you've reached that point can you even start having discussion or debate about it. And I think a little dose of that would go a long, long way online for us. I don't know if, did I answer that question? Okay, all right.
I think we had another question right here.
Is there? So what's going on, Brother Bart?
Yeah.
I'm a Farmersville guy too, I've seen you.
All right, hey.
I got excited, I saw Farmersville, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the question I had for you is, would you encourage us as believers to be extremely involved in social media and to try and spread that godly influence, or would you encourage us to abstain from social media, and what would be a valid reason for that?
Neither. I know people are just not social media people. My wife's just not a social media person. And I think she would say that I'm enough for the both of us and that there's really no need for her to be engaged. Some people are more private. Some people are more public. And I think that that God has fitted some people for engagement in this more than others. I don't think it's to be discouraged or to have anybody's arm bent behind their back. But I will say this. I think there's tremendous opportunity to show the contrast of what the fruit of the Spirit looks like online through social media. And I think it would be a shame if people who were capable of showing that contrast retreated away from it. Because then what's left there? An absence of the contrast, and the people you don't want representing you on social media are not going away. So I do think that if Paul would march off into the Areopagus, then you and I can probably endure social media.
Cool. Is there a next question? I can't see, so.
There's one over here.
Who has the mic? Okay.
Keep coming forward on your left.
It's very bright up here.
You're warm. There you go.
I don't know if this is like technically about social media, but with what you said about like having your doctorate degree made you a person that argues well, and to be aware of that. Obviously, there's arguments. Like, obviously, you can argue well, and that be a good thing. You need to like have skills of persuasion and things, and like critically thinking through things, and you know, like your beliefs, you know. So, in terms of social media, you can argue, like, what are the ways that you prepare yourself to argue in such a way that does not shame the person? Because you can premeditate that. But then also, whenever you're having conversations with a person in person, what are some habits that you've tried to, like, instill in yourself over the years that, don't shame the person? Like, some habits that, because your instinct at mm-hmm. that point.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great if y'all had somebody here who knew how to teach rhetoric, who could give you some skills along the. Oh, Sarah Springs here, isn't she? That's right.
She sure is. Yes.
Fortunately, there's a long tradition of principles that you can study and actually acquire in class some that teaches this field of rhetoric, that teaches about how to use words and what effect it's going to have on other people. I would encourage that. I would also say that whatever formal training you get, some of this is practice and experience. And some of it is also time for the fruit of the Spirit to grow. My greatest worry about the Q&A time would be that one of you would say, your tweet on May the 23rd of 2020 does not seem to exemplify what you've preached about today. And in which case, I'd already thought about what I was going to answer. I was going to say, you should have seen me in 2007 when it was even worse. Just like in a garden, just like in an orchard, the fact of the matter is the fruit of the Spirit can start out small and green, and it grows and ripens over time until the appearance and the smell and the taste of it are sweet. And so I think some of this is acquired just through patience for the Holy Spirit to help us to grow. Some of it is acquired through trial and error, doing things that you thought were a good, kind, gentle way to present something, but then you see how people react to it. And so the worst place to be is where you don't care how people react to it, and you're not paying attention to how people react to it, or even worse, you delight in bad reactions to whatever you have to say. I think if you can avoid those sorts of things in your heart, study well, learn from people who've done it well, and just watch through some trial and error. I think that can really help you. As an addendum onto this, they really ought to do a class for being married to somebody who gets a PhD, who brings their argument for the extent of the atonement, brings those skills in and applies them to who ought to carry out the trash on Monday morning, you know, and you're just like, "Ugh." So that's something that some self-awareness and just trying to kind of watch who you are and what you're doing. My online life changed when I realized that I was not the person online that I was as a pastor in my local church. And at that moment, I thought, I need to be someone with integrity who's the same person in all these places. And so you just learn over time about this. And you've got time, probably, to sort all that out.
I think we got time for maybe one more short question over here.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Enrica.
Hi, Enrica.
Hi.
I'm Bart.
Hi, Bart. So I have a question. Let's see. Do you work on the fruit of the Spirit like an exercise, or do you naturally work on it through the Holy Spirit, or both?
Both, I think. Absolutely both.
And explain why. And then I have another question. When is a good time to argue? Like, you going through your social media, and then you see a statement. When is a good time to make a statement or, quote-unquote, argue or not to argue? I need that answer.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to be real quick with your first question so I can get to the second one. And I'm just going to say it's both, because work out your salvation in fear and trembling, but it's the Spirit of God who's at work in you to work in the will of His good pleasure. And so I believe that this is the biblical pattern of discipleship. It's something that we work on. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we would never succeed. But the Holy Spirit makes us succeed and yet calls us to work on it too. And I think that's true with the fruit of the Spirit. Desire it. Desire it is important. With your second one, I would say argument is my love language. And I delight in doing it, but I think something I hinted at in the sermon, but that I would underscore here is what you have to, it's time to argue whenever somebody has any substantial error that could benefit from the truth. It can be good to argue any of that time, but if your definition of success in argument is that the other person walked away with their tail between their legs, okay, that makes you a different person than if your definition of success in argument is when the person feels comfortable to say, I see what you're saying. You've got a good point. And I think social media is oriented around the former, and the fruit of the Spirit is oriented around the latter. The Scriptures are full of commands for us to correct people, to rebuke people, but to restore one another in gentleness, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And so I think that it just makes a really palpable difference if you're someone who is arguing to persuade and convert rather than someone who is arguing in order to conquer.
Yeah. Give Bart another hand for being here. And if you guys are on Twitter, I mean, he's like a favorite follow of mine. So please, you know, at Bart Barber.
Please don't expect that it would all actually be serious.
Oh, no.
Lots of it is not.
It's really fun. Like, you're genuinely funny. I wish I were as funny as you are. But no, the Lord has legitimately granted, and I don't know if you would say this, I think at least it's part in due to your social media presence, but I think the Lord has granted you an outsized influence beyond what you might otherwise have were it not for engagement on
sure.
social media.
It bewilders me sometimes.
To the point of national media outlets reaching out to you for comment or for op-eds, and that's a big, I mean, you're Farmersville, Texas.
I'm in Farmersville, Texas.
Yeah, so whether it's on Twitter or in person, Bart is an engaging and kind-hearted man with a pastor's heart, so we're glad to have him here. I'm going to pray for you. We'll sing another song. Thank you guys for being here. Lord, thank you for Bart, for his wife, Tracy, for their children, Jim and Sarah. Lord, bless him, bless their ministry. Thank you for his time today, encouraging us toward that which is good and true, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, which you, Spirit, manifest in us, and we ask that you would do that in the way that only you can. Lord, we want to steward well that which you've given us, and I pray that we will. And we pray that we would go out of here, and the words that you have spoken through Bart would have an effect on us. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.